Here we go again.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
How are you? You all right?
No.
Good week?
No.
Why?
No.
What's wrong?
I have had the most amount of anxiety I think I've ever had in my life.
Why?
So, you know me, right? I'm very... I think I'm quite tidy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm quite an organised person.
Well, you are now.
What you said?
Well, you never used to be when we lived, you know, you had your room at my house.
Yeah, but I think because of you, with your cleaning, I've inherited that.
Have you?
I can't go to bed.
There is nothing wrong with cleaning.
No, there's not. But I'm saying I can't go to bed if there's a spoon in the sink.
Yeah, I'm the same as that.
No, that's
the
same. I can't do it.
I'm the same. I have to have this kitchen, has to be spotless.
Yeah.
Before I go to bed.
Yeah, yeah, same.
And you pick that up.
Yeah. Spotless. Like, it has to look like a hotel.
So that when I get up in the morning, I feel like I'm in a hotel.
Yes, but the only time that I'll ever do it is that, like, if I'm like, if you need something to soak, that's the only excuse I'll give
no,
myself.
No, that is an excuse.
No, it's not, though.
That's an excuse. No one ever needs to, like, that whole thing. Shirley does this to me. Shirley says, I'm just leaving that pan in the sink to soak. No, you just get the Brillo pad out and you clean it.
Yeah, but the Brillo pad will kill the non-stick.
Well, not a pan, but sometimes, like, you know, you put a tray or something. I'm not saying...
Well, you don't believe in the,
I
you don't believe
just
in
saying,
to soak.
No, I think that's rubbish. That's an excuse, right? Don't leave it to soak. Use a bit of elbow grease. Get it off.
All right. But anyway, so that's what I'm saying, right? So normally I'm quite good. I'm organised.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got all my little things in my house. A lot of my stuff is labelled. I have a labeller around my house.
Hang on a second. Yeah, let's get this right. You have someone, what's she called, a super cleaner or something?
Yes, she's a super cleaner.
Super cleaner,
yeah.
To come round and put all your things, your little pants and stuff,
yeah,
into little separate boxes,
yeah,
with labels, Roman's pants.
Yeah, her name's Lucy.
Roman's
good,
socks.
By the way, you can look her up on Instagram. She did a
right.
Great job.
What's she called? What's her?
I'll shout her out. This isn't an ad, by the way, but she's organised by Lucy. She was very good.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been
very good.
Your house.
That's what I'm saying. You were very good, right? And I've kept it. No, but the big thing is I've kept it.
Have you?
Like, I've kept it exact same way, right? She comes around your house and she basically, you know, like how you move around your house and you know you put this here and there.
Every sock is rolled up individually.
They are. Mate, I'm so organized. Like, I'm so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, this is my story.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got like my drawers for everything now.
Yeah. Right?
So if I lose something, it's really rare that I lose something. Anyway, I've got this trip coming up. I've got to go to America.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, work thing. I was born in the States.
Yeah.
Right? So dual citizen. So that means that I've got two passports.
Yeah.
The problem is with the States is that, like, if it's not like if I forget one, I can use the other one. If you go to America, you have to go in on an American passport.
So you can't use your British passport?
Can't use British passport.
Okay.
Right? So you have to go in on American. One of my American passports expired. Right. And then I had to go like on an emergency basis. So I had to get an emergency passport. Then you've got to keep it for a year. Right. So these emergency passports, they last a year. So basically, long story short, I'm only on my emergency US passport.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got this trip coming up. I'm like, oh, God, let me just check. I've got, you know, everything's sorted.
Yeah.
Because I get, you know, anxious about it. Pull open the travel drawer. Not there.
What? It's not in your.
No passport.
Your little box with the label on.
That says travel. It says travel on it.
Does it?
Not in there.
It's not in there.
Right? At this point, no.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So you're not going to go, right?
Well, I'm going.
No, but yeah, like, but I'm saying you won't be able to.
Won't be able to go.
You don't get a passport.
Right? So I've lost my passport, right? So now I'm panicking. I'm really panicking. I've turned the house upside down, right?
Yeah.
I've looked in every pot drawer, every pant drawer.
That feeling is like, horrible.
Horrible, right?
Yeah.
Horrible. And I'm like, this is it. This is the end,
yeah,
right? I'm done here. Look on the American embassy website. Says, oh, you can't get your passport back until flipping 5 to 8 weeks because you don't live in the US.
Oh, because you have to send it away.
You've got to send it away.
Yeah,
you got to send it away and then come back.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I've got to list it as lost.
Yeah.
So and then I'm thinking, well, I've got 3 weeks until I've got to do this job, right? So I haven't got that time. So I'm panicking. And then I go on my phone and I'm like trying to fill out the form. Because I'm thinking, let's just get ahead of this and try and do it. So I get on the US embassy website. You've got a 14-page thing that you got to fill out.
Yeah.
Right? And they ask you everything.
Everything.
They might as well ask you your blood type.
Yeah, they right? do. Yeah, absolutely.
So they're going everything. So they're asking me left, right, you know, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's this. So I filled out this thing. I'm doing it on my phone the whole time, right? I'm panicking. It's about 10 o'clock at night at this point. And 10 o'clock at night. And then as I'm doing it, I'm just thinking, oh God, this is horrible, horrible, horrible. Get to the last page.
Yeah.
You know, in a bit where it says, okay, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, press submit. As I go to press submit, phone dies.
No. Phone After dies. You've done all of that.
Yeah. Didn't even realize it was on 1%.
So you still haven't got your passport.
Phone dies, right?
Yeah.
Phone dies. And then, right, I've just said to myself, I could have cried there and then, could have cried. I've said to myself, nah, just go to bed. Plug your phone in, go to bed. Right, do this in the morning. So I go to bed and wake up the next day. Whole day I'm thinking, oh God, I can't even bother to do this thing yet. Like, you know, I'll do it in the afternoon. I'll do this form in the afternoon. So I'm doing it. So I think about it. I go and do my radio show in the morning. I come back, go to the gym, have a little bit of a nap. I'm about to go and do the one show because I've got to come back. I go and do the one show. So I get in the shower, and then something out of nowhere, brainwave just comes whilst I'm in the shower. Bang, it's in your suit pocket, right? Out of nowhere, bang, it's in your suit pocket. Fully naked, right? Dripping wet, looking like Mr. Burns.
Yeah, you do. You don't care at those moments,
do
you? Yeah.
Didn't care, right? Got straight. I think I still had, you know, flipping shampoo in my hair.
Yeah.
Right? Just got out of the shower, like, no towel, nothing, right? And I just go to this one suit and I go like that. And I feel the side of it and I feel that cardboard. You know, when you feel the card.
No, you
and
found
I slowly
it.
Pull it out.
No.
Right? But my God. Like, to say, if my phone hadn't died, I would have cancelled the passport, everything like that. So let me tell you, my anxiety is through the roof.
Yeah.
But I got it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Why?
Well, because I would have done the job.
Yeah, you would have done the job. But honestly, I'm not to be played with this week.
Oh, man. But you got it. You got your passport,
lucky.
Mate, right?
I was lucky. Yeah.
You got your passport.
Yeah. Why is that the worst feeling? Passport
it is your
like,
worst.
Also, what a stupid thing.
We've all done
what
it.
What a stupid
We've all done
thing
it.
A passport is. Like, why is 2024?
Yeah.
Why are we carrying around this, like, flipping, might as well be.
A bit of paper.
World War II.
I know.
You know. Like,
why haven't we got
as well a little box
a chip or something underneath our skin?
Yeah, exactly.
That you walk through, you don't even have to go through a passport.
Don't have to
desk
renew
or
it.
Anything. Nothing. You just walk through. Light goes red or green.
Yeah.
Yes exactly. Or no. Allowed in or not.
I feel like I'm in flipping. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Dad's army, like, or a piece of paper like that. What was that thing that Nanny Granddad used to have? What were those? You know, when they got evacuated.
Yeah.
Those little boxes.
Yeah, a little box.
Why, it feels like we're walking. Why are we still doing passports? Anyway,
I'd rather have a chip underneath the skin. That's the way forward.
Would you have one of them Elon Musk chips?
What's that? Tell me about it.
Neuralink, he's called it.
And what does it do?
So
I haven't heard about this.
What do you mean you haven't heard about it?
I haven't heard about it.
So obviously, like, AI is going to take over at some point. So the only way to compete with AI is to join.
Yeah.
And I think this is the future.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe this. This is a tech conversation for another day. But basically, long story short, it's a chip that goes into your brain.
Right.
And it links up synapses that aren't necessarily working at their fullest potential.
Right.
And it makes it work at its fullest potential. To the point at which you can actually control tech using just your brain.
Amazing.
And they've done it horrendously. They've done it on monkeys, but that's what they do.
Of course.
You know, any type of thing, they do it on animals. Of course they do. Like, you know, I don't agree with it, but that's what they do.
And what are the monkeys using it for?
So the monkey, they get this monkey.
Yeah.
And I've seen the video. There's video of it.
Yeah.
And the monkey's looking at a screen, and the screen is playing Tetris. Pong.
Yeah.
It's playing Pong.
Yeah.
And they teach this monkey the concept of Pong, and it understands that if it moves it up and down to, you know, bounce the ball back, the monkey's got a tube that comes out of this machine, and if it sucks on the tube, it gets like banana smoothie, essentially.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if it gets it correctly, it can have the banana smoothie.
Right.
Right. So then what happens? They keep using the Tetris thing, and then they switch off. They link the Neuralink to the computer.
Right.
Right. So the thing in the monkey's brain.
Right.
They switch off the joystick.
Yeah.
Right. The monkey's still using the joystick, thinking that it's doing it, but it's moving it.
It's his brain.
It's his brain moving. And then they take it to the next level, right? But, you know, it's still sucking on the banana smoothie.
Yeah.
Then they take it to the next level. They take away the joystick. So now the monkey's just sat there, just staring at the screen, smoothie in its mouth, making it work.
Oh my God.
That's the future.
Yeah. You'd do, wouldn't you?
I think so. I think it's the way forward. I honestly, like, you know, when people talk to you about
you like banana smoothies.
We'll talk about tech for another day, but there was a lovely message. There's a lovely message that came in from quite a few people.
Yeah.
I'll single out Janet here. Thank you for this. She says, Roman, you must ask your dad about his perception of fame.
Fame?
He says, so many people, including my own parents, had their own thoughts on whether or not it was good or bad for society. And I always wish I'd had more conversations or my parents had grown up in the Love Island fame era. Please ask him. So I think it is a good subject because it's something that's been a part of our life forever. So fame, right?
Yeah, yeah. But let's talk about fame. Fame's a difficult one.
Go on, what do you want to say?
Well, fame's a difficult one to talk about, isn't it? Because I think there's more things wrong with fame than there are... There's more things against it than there are for it.
Okay, I think... Sorry, I'm not shutting you down, but I think... You're totally right. Completely agree. In your life, do you think... You have had the extremity of not both sides, but I don't know what happened to you that made you change. Because you were seemingly, right, Mum always talks about it.
Yeah.
That, you know, Spandau Ballet, you boys must have been obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You loved the fact that you're famous.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely loved the fact that you're famous. The more people that knew who you were, the better.
Yep.
The more people coming to get autographs, pictures, blah, 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 blah. Like, amazing.
Yep, all that.
Then at what point did you go, nah?
I think when I grew up and that moment, which we've spoken about on another episode, is the whole brain tumour thing that I went through.
Yeah, so it was that.
It was absolutely that. And there was a moment when, I know you're absolutely right. You know, when I was a kid, I used to be in my bedroom. I used to want fame so much, but I wanted fame through a rock band. I wanted to be a rock star. That's what I wanted. You know, I wanted to be a rock god and up there with the best. And that's what I dreamt about and the fame that went with it. And that was all something that I wanted. And when it happened was, you're absolutely right. We wanted more and more and more. And that's the whole idea. I mean, what I didn't like about it, the only downside during those times that I remember about when we first started was I quickly realised that your fame was on a level of what number you were in the charts. So if you were a number 20, you felt like a number 20 person. If you were like number one, you were on top of the world.
Yeah.
You know, number 10, I'm a number 10 person.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that kind of, I realised straight away there was something wrong with that and in how I was feeling, you know. But the time I think I grew up was when I went through that whole brain tumour thing. And it was the morning that I had to check in before the operation, before the brain, they were going to take the brain tumours away. And I realised I was more concerned about the person behind the desk recognising me.
Yeah.
Saying, there's Martin Kemp going in for his neurosurgery than I was about the operation.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what I was more embarrassed about, that I was in there. And that moment kind of shook me. And I think that was the moment that I realised, hang on a second, I wish I wasn't famous. It was the first time in my life that I could remember that I wished I wasn't famous.
Yeah.
When I was checking in for that operation.
Yeah.
So that was my turning point.
I think I have a very negative view of fame. And people, like, the annoying thing is, right?
Where'd you get that from then? Because you're only young.
Mum, but you have to think back, right?
Yeah.
Think back, because you have to think of me as, you know, you and I have had the complete different childhood.
Yeah.
I've grown up going to restaurants. Imagine as a kid, everyone shares your parent. You don't own that.
I know. And I realised, even when you were a kid, I realised that was going on.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I don't own it. And what I mean as well is that, like, you think, like, it never used to bother, you know, Harley again, my sister, you know, she's amazing. Like, she's such a free spirit and all that type of stuff. So stuff doesn't bother her. But I remember so vividly being at dinners, you know, we used to go to like Pizza Express or something, and me constantly saying, they're looking at us. And Dad, they're looking at you. Or Mum, they're looking at you.
Yeah,
that person stared at you. That person stared at you. And that used to bug the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I hated it. I hate this feeling that you're being like watched and like judged and all this type of stuff. And like, obviously, you know, an adult, so you were just like, you know, don't worry about it, all this type of stuff.
Well, I was an adult, but I was thinking about it, don't worry about it, like exactly like you say. But I was also, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, right?
Yeah.
Fame. It's about you constantly being judged.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but that's why I say, like, you know, that's why it, when you see, like, now, yeah, when you see these, like, what do you make of that, like, Love Island-style fame?
I think in the world we live in at the moment,
yeah,
I think if that's what kids want and that is the way that you think you can get that fame, then I think it's a shortcut to making a lot of money. And I think if you can do it right and treat it right and understand it well, then you can make a lot of money from it. And I am completely against this whole thing that, oh, they haven't paid their dues. They're not doing a proper job.
No.
They're not.
Do what you want. Yeah.
It is a job. Fame is a job now. And that's what it's turned into. I'm not into one of those things. I'm not that sort of guy that thinks a band can only be really successful if it's spent 10 years traveling around in a white transit van to get to where it wants to be. You know, if there is a shortcut available, then why not use the shortcut? That's my point of view. But, you know, I feel sorry for the young kids on Love Island and stuff in some way because they see fame as like the be all and end all. They think it's, they only see the good side of it. And there's so many things that don't work well with fame, don't sit well with me, you know.
Like what?
I think it's the idea of always having to have two personalities. One is the personality that people know. And then the other personality is the person you are at home. Well, most people aren't like that at all. They're just one personality.
Yeah, but it must be so nice for you now, though, because you are that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a relief for me.
It never used to be like that when you were like it didn't. Horrible.
Well, but fame, when I grew up, you know, what was behind fame when I grew up was there was a certain amount of mystique that went with famous people. You know, you only showed them little glimpses of your life behind the scenes. You know? Yeah. Like, but now...
Well, because the only time you could see them is in a magazine.
Yeah.
Or printed monthly.
Or on television. Yeah. On Top of the Pops, at 3 minutes every 2 weeks. But now, fame has completely opened up, where people open up their doors at the drop of a hat. Mm. You know, they invite everybody in the world into their homes.
Yeah.
Where, when I grew up, you didn't do that. And so there was a certain amount of mystique that you could carry with it. But nowadays there isn't.
My biggest question, I think, with you, how have you maintained a celebrity relationship, a famous relationship?
With mum.
Yeah. So I'm not talking about your thing with mum.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Are you worried about, do you think about how much you want to let people in? Or like, do you know what I mean? Like when you were like kids and that, did you want it to be out there that you were dating, or did you not care or anything like that?
Oh, no, I didn't care. No, I was absolutely happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, you can look back into pictures of me and mum together. Listen, me and mum were in love from day one.
Mm.
So why not put it out there? You know, we couldn't hide it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And even though there, you know, there's that thing in Spinal Tap when, do you know that scene when the girlfriend comes?
Yeah.
To her and his mate goes, "What's she doing then?
Yeah.
She dropping something off."
Yeah.
And it's that moment, you know, when we were in the band, we used to go through that moment a lot.
Yeah.
You know, "What's she doing? She dropping something off."
Yeah.
But no, me and mum were in love to the point where we couldn't hide it and we didn't care.
Yeah.
Which I think was really nice looking back. But being famous, I think that the only safety net that you have is that rock, like your relationship. And you have to have that. A touch.
So, like, okay, so me going into my life.
Yeah.
Would you advise me to not care about showing my relationship within fame and merging that with fame? Or do you think I should keep it private?
No, I think you should be as real as you want to be. I don't know, it's a tough question that. Because on one part of it, I can see the idea of keeping it away from everybody else and not telling everybody else. But on the other side of it, you might be running yourself into a trap where you're splitting yourself too much and you're not being one person.
Yeah.
Because I think the problem with being famous is that you end up as two different people.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, I mean, it's funny. When I was in EastEnders and I was playing that Steve Owen character, I was kind of like, my personality felt like I was completely split. Because you spend so much time, I was spending more time as Steve Owen than I was as Martin Kemp.
Yeah.
And part of the problem I was having, my life was easier as Steve Owen than it was as Martin Kemp.
Yeah, at the point. Yeah.
And that's when I realised that fame was fucking me up.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Well, our biggest thing, right? The biggest, I think one of my biggest takes on fame as well. And this is where I think I'm like so grateful that I've been able to see it.
Yeah.
Right. I have a very view on, like, people may think one version of me and they probably are very wrong.
Yeah.
Right. I imagine. My thing is always about, like, you know, I could not care less. I promise you, I could not care less about the fame side of it. I do not like, I'm not a party person. I don't like going to places. Yeah. I find it really odd and uncomfortable when people come up to me and stuff like that. I like it. I really respect it. But that's just me as a person. Like, I find it strange.
Yeah, but you're really good with it.
No, I'm good at it. But there's a difference between, I'm not like, oh, get away from me. Like, yeah. That's not what I'm saying. But like, it's a part of my life that I'm a bit afraid of. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm afraid of that side.
Yeah.
All I'm doing in my life is I'm doing the only thing that people have told me that I'm really good at, which is what I do, right? It's hosting, right?
Yeah.
But one of the cons of that job, you know, you've got pros and cons to everything. One of the cons of that is that you have that side.
Yeah.
But I also think the reason I have that is because there's no goal for me, because I've seen, like, you got to think, right? If I'm growing up as well, like, you know what I said earlier, like, you see all that stuff, like people staring, etc. I also was able to see fame at differing levels, right? So I would have, you know, you and mum as my mum and dad.
Yeah.
Right? And that's famous. But then we'd have friends and family who are flipping
even more
George Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is like shut down airport. I call that shut down airport.
It was.
Level of fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
but that put, in a way, George's fame
put me off.
Mine into perspective.
But that's what I'm saying. But it did for me, because what I realized is that, like, despite his level of fame,
yeah,
there wasn't necessarily endless happiness there. And it wasn't like, do you know what I mean? Like,
listen.
It's obvious to see. You know, it's there for everyone to tell. That's what I'm saying. And it's like, but like, you know, I saw the things that really meant the most to him were his dinners with mum and, you know, I mean, and with his friends and things like that. And so I think it put into perspective the most important things for me, which I'm very lucky to have. But what that does is it just means, okay, so what's the goal then? So is the goal in my career, is it just my own personal career goals? Or is it, you know, because some people measure it as fame. Some of the people that are in my industry are just like, I want to be more and more famous. How do I get more famous? For me, it's hands up, right?
Yeah.
For me, it's I want to make as much money as possible so that I can give my family a nice life and I can go on these trips that
way you have to look at it, and I think that is the absolute right attitude to have. The way you have to look at it is that fame is a ticket to get a better job, to get those jobs that you want to do within entertainment. Within the world that you live, fame is a ticket, and that's all it is. And if you look at it in any other way, then it goes wrong. It's wonky. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
You know, it's just a ticket to get a better job.
One of the things that comes along with being famous is people looking into your life.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Scrutiny.
Scrutiny.
Yeah.
What's the worst headline you've ever seen about yourself? Do you remember?
I've been really lucky, Ro. I've been really lucky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, with headlines coming against me, you know.
Does it kill you, though, if you see, like, a bad review of stuff?
No, it doesn't, because I know it's bad already. No, it's it doesn't, to be honest. You know, I don't do that whole thing. I like to work, I like to do the job, and I like to walk away from it and leave it behind. If the reviews are bad, then they're bad. But don't read the bad ones, just read the good ones. You know.
But then what's your view on trolls then?
But there's always going to be trolls. It doesn't matter if you've made it doesn't matter if you've made the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Right? There will be people out there that will troll you and tell you it's no good and rubbish.
Yeah.
Just for their own pleasure.
Yeah, I know.
To get response.
Yeah.
There will always be that. It doesn't matter if it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. Do you read bad comments about yourself?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't know why I have this. Maybe I probably is down to you, because mum hates it.
Mum hates it. Yeah, yeah.
My mum is like the worst.
But mum was. You got to remember, Yogg was her best friend, right? Yogg's yeah. whole idea of anything to do with press.
Yogg is George, by the way.
Yeah, Yogg, yeah. Just don't do it, right? It was more about saying no than it was about saying yes.
Right. And why? Because he was so scared of it.
Well, one, because he was so scared of it, and because two, he didn't have to do it.
Right.
Because he could rely on his talent.
Yeah.
Right. And just put out another brilliant record, yeah. sounding brilliant.
Get a load of money.
And everyone will love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mum comes from that Yogg school of thinking where you just say no to everything. And so me and Mum constantly argue.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, I think I should do this. It'd be good. It'd be good if I do this bit of press. It'd be good if I do something on television. Mum would say, no, don't do anything. Just stay away from it. But it doesn't work like that anymore.
Yeah, but you said that as well. Like going from George, right? I remember the biggest, most angry I've ever seen him in my life was when yeah. Mum said that we might be moving to LA. I remember it getting so heated that he left. I remember watching him leave.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Because Mum said that she was going to take us all back to Los Angeles.
That's right.
And we were going to grow up there. And he was so angry that he said about me and Harley growing up in that world, that fame thing.
Yeah.
He was so angry that they left. And I remember that. And I think part of me, you know, like, I just remember him saying, Shirley, it'll fuck them up, all this type of stuff. I remember hearing it.
Yeah.
I think I have a fear around it a little bit more. But my thing as well, like, people always say to me, how do I deal with trolls, right, and all these types of things. Yeah. I love it.
Well, trolls?
I love it.
How do you deal with it then?
I love it. Don't you think it's the funniest thing?
Not really.
Like, it's the funniest thing. Like, imagine your life is you go online to like yeah. try and like say horrible stuff about people. Yeah. Like, imagine that's your life.
But that's what they do.
I like it. If it's funny, like, it's the best thing ever. Like,
it's banter, right?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, no yeah. one online can kill me better than my personal mates can kill me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I come from the most kill or be killed group of mates that, like, you couldn't get close.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you could not get close
yeah.
to what they say to me, right? And it's like, you know, Matt, my best mate Matt, right?
Yeah.
You know, ever since I started in this journey, right, of like work and, you know, being part of the public eye,
yeah, yeah.
He's always told me that I was obviously a Z-list celebrity. and he's rammed that home.
Yeah. Right?
So much so that
I've gone up a bit now.
Well, this
you're
a
good ex now.
So, but he changes a letter in the alphabet. So I'm saved in his phone as row yeah. and then brackets letter in the alphabet. Right, as the how he thinks I'm doing. Right, I'm only at flipping P.
Oh,
I'm only at P.
Yeah.
One of my favourite movies ever is 8 Mile.
Oh right? Yeah, great. Yeah.
Eminem.
Yeah.
Right, and in the last scene in 8 Mile, and I tell this story all the time. And yeah. This is my best thing for anyone that is listening to this that could potentially be famous in the future. Yeah. This is my only bit of tip that I took from this film. At the end of 8 Mile, right, he has a rap battle and he's the most like laughable. He's the joke of the town, right? Yeah. At this point, he's choked on every rap battle, all this type of stuff, like all this bad stuff happened to him. And he stands up there and you're meant to like diss the person that's in front of you, right? In a rap yeah, battle, yeah. you look at the person and you yeah, just yeah. kill them. You absolutely kill them. And instead, what he does is he just turns to the crowd and he raps about himself and he says all the bad stuff about himself. And he's like, I'm this. I live
so
in this.
So he roasts himself.
Roasts himself to hell, yeah. right? Roasts himself. And then he throws the mic at the other guy and he throws the mic at the other guy and he goes, here, tell these people something they don't know about me.
Love it.
Right?
I really like that.
And the guy says nothing.
Yeah.
The guy says absolutely, he just stands there and he's like, I've got nothing to say.
I really right? like that.
And I've based my career off that. And I'm not joking. Genuinely, like that is how I run my career.
I know you have. I see it every day. I listen to it every day on the radio.
I listen to this.
You
yeah.
take the mickey out yourself all the time, and I love that.
You want to talk about fame? Yeah. This was the last year I put this on my Instagram because everyone it was a New Year's Eve and everyone was posting like their best bits.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And so I was like, you know, classic me thing.
Yeah.
Kill myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I said.
Or anyone else does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So I wrote, as everyone else is posting their best bits of the year, here's the worst headlines I had this year. Right?
Yeah.
So.
And what were they?
These are the worst headlines. This is only this year.
Yeah.
Right? Roman Kemp in turmoil after eating cream egg worth £10,000. You know, people thought that was banter.
Was that true?
On my life. On my life, Dad, So many people.
So they were looking for a cream egg that was what? A certain colour?
Half white chocolate, half milk chocolate.
Right.
Right. And the thing is, they had sent us like some packs of things, right? And I don't know anything about it. And then I've opened this thing. It's that one. And I've said to my mates, I was like, well, I messed up there. I remember saying, well, someone's getting fired.
Yeah.
Someone's getting fired. Look at that. Right. And I've eaten it. And not only that, I've eaten it, I've thrown a wrapper away. Right? So and then it was awful. But people thought I got paid for that. I didn't get paid for it. But I lost money. It's on my life, Dad. I do a lot of ads. That was not an ad.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it says it about Anguish DJ. Turns out there isn't a prize attached to that egg. So that was one. another headline I loved. Roman Kemp left red face as he's caught fully naked on all fours in epic blunder.
Where was that?
Roman Kemp has compared himself to E.T. after being caught completely naked while attempting to enjoy a relaxing break in Costa Rica, which didn't go to plan. Basically, I got naked in a river.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, get one with nature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, so I jumped into this hot spring naked.
Yeah.
And I had my, you know, mud bath and all that type of stuff. I've put my pants on the side and I didn't realise it. The downstream tide was pretty strong.
Yeah.
And it took the pants.
So you got no clothes?
Took the pants. And I've realised, so now I'm swimming. Now I'm swimming, trying to get, I've got these pants, right? I'm going. Yeah. I'll just get it in time. And then the worst thing is, as I'm standing up, going to put on the pants, I look up and there's full tourists just looking at me.
No!
Like, no! You know what I mean? Like, let me tell you, it's a hot
spring. Did they recognise
you? It's a hot spring, but it still looked like it was cold.
Did they recognise you though?
I don't know.
They're going, there's Roman Kemp.
Do you know what I mean? They're the worst bits. Like, they are the worst bits. Yeah. What about this one, right? This is another headline.
Yeah.
I had been furrowing and dowsing my brow with an old man's pants, says Roman Kemp.
I love this story. You got to tell me this story again. I love this.
All right. So basically, I had gone to Korea and... I'd gone to Korea.
Because he's recently, right?
Yeah. So I'd gone to Korea and I ended up going to a spa. And I thought, you know, this is nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and do what the Koreans do. And they were like, oh, we're big into sauna culture and all that type of stuff. You know, much like kind of, you know, Europeans.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. So I go to this spa and I get into the changing room. Everyone's naked. And there's a moment in guys' thing. I mean, look, we've spoken about you. You can't even go to a urinal, right? But I'm thinking, look, these are lovely Korean fellas.
Yeah, yeah,
You know, no one knows who I am.
Yeah.
Right, so anyway, towel off, I'm walking around, and I'm looking around, and I see, as I walk in there, I see some bits on the side, right? So, and what I mean by bits is I see, like, there's some salt there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Himalayan salt.
All the stuff, all the bits and pieces.
Yeah, Himalayan salt.
But
scrubs.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And one of the scrubs as well, one of them was like some toothpaste.
Yeah.
So I've got the toothpaste out and I've started, like, you know, applying it onto myself, right?
Yeah.
And because, you know, it's good for your skin. So I'm rubbing the toothpaste all in my face. I start walking around. I'm sat in this sauna with a bunch of these old fellas. Well, I was the youngest person by far, right? Proper old fellas.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one's got any towels or anything like that. I've realised no one else has got the toothpaste on, right? No one's sat with a toothpaste. And then as I've gotten out, I've realised one bloke's just brushing his teeth. So that was just there if you wanted to brush your teeth. Right? So now I'm thinking, oh no, I've got all this toothpaste on me, right? I've got this.
Is it burning?
It wasn't minty, but I've got all this toothpaste on my face and all that type of stuff.
Did you put it around your balls and stuff?
No, just like on my arms.
Sting like crazy.
No, like that shower gel. No, it was just like on my shoulders and that. I put it on my face. And anyway, so then I've come out the sauna and I'm thinking, oh shit, better get this off my face, right?
Yeah.
And then so I've gone over to the door. And as I've gone to the door, I've seen, like, you know, like white linen-y things.
Towels.
They look like hand towels.
Yeah, they're called towels.
No, but they look like little hand towels. They didn't. They
yeah, were, I know. I know.
Cotton. Things,
yeah. Right?
Hand towels.
Little dust cloths.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll go over and grab one of them. I wet my face. I'll start wiping my face down. I start wiping all this toothpaste off. Right. As I've wiped the final bit, I've opened what I think is this towel. And it's these pair of old flipping Y fronts, right? Y fronts. I put them back. And as I go back in the room, the old fella in the sauna comes out, takes his pants and goes.
No!
Joke's on him, though. He's the one with minty balls. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, with me, like, there's a lot of stories out there that...
Love that.
Do you know what I mean?
Love like, that.
So there's pros and cons to fame because you can hide in countries like that, but every now and again, it's good to just tell it.
Well, listen, I think you've changed it around. Yeah, I mean, let's talk about some good things that you get from fame. So let's have a quick run through the good things. What do you get from fame that's really good?
What do you get from fame that's really good?
Yeah. Meeting your heroes.
Yeah, you get to meet your heroes.
You get to meet a lot of good people, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Hey? You do some wild stuff.
You do.
You do some wild. That's what I mean. Like, don't get me wrong. This is not a thing of like, oh, two famous people moaning about.
I would never like to see it like that.
No, not at all. Like,
because we listen. That is why, in the first place, you know, a lot of people ask me, "Are you not worried about your boy getting into being famous? So you're getting into the business?" And I say, no, because I have had the most incredible time, incredible life. Mm. You know, from the very first time when I signed a record deal with the band when I was 18. Years old, and the very first plane that I got on to go and do the promo, right, I was sitting next to this record company guy, and back then in the early 80s it was kind of, the record company was left over from the 70s,
right,
so it was that kind of business.
Yeah.
And the very first plane I got on to go to Belgium, right, the record company guy, he lets the table down, right, chops out a line of cocaine.
Oh my god.
Next to me, sitting next to me, I'm 18 years old, I'm looking at him thinking, is this it? Is this life? Is this what I'm in?
On a plane.
On a plane.
Yeah.
On a plane. And that was my introduction into entertainment business.
There's so many perks, but we're just talking about the side of it that sometimes people don't really see.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, that was a great question. That's a topic that we can talk about for a long time. Yeah. But thank you so much once again for listening. Don't forget, if you have a question that... Imagine you had a question that you wish you could ask your loved one that maybe you didn't get to ask, right? All you need to do, just... you can DM us, by the way, at FFSmydadis. That's our like kind of handle across like all the socials. To never miss an episode, subscribe, follow the podcast wherever you're listening right now. You'll be alerted as soon as there's a new one. Leave a review, Dad.
Leave a review?
Yeah, go on. Say it.
What?
5 stars...
Leave a 5-star review
if you like it,
if you like
or
it
or not.
How do you know? What? Leave a 5-star review if you like it or not.
Why if you or not?
Well, because if not, then you get your mates to waste their time.
Exactly.
Hey!
There you go. Well done. We'll be back next time. Bye. This has been an Insanity Studios production.